Psalm 75. To the chief musician, Al-Takith, a psalm or song of Asaph. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks, for that thy name is near thy wondrous works declare. When I shall receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillars of it, Selah. I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly, and to the wicked, lift not up the horn. Lift not up your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But the Lord is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is a full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same. But the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth, shall wring them out and drink them. The last two verses in unison. But I will declare forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked also will I cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. Amen. God blesses the righteous is the title for tonight's prayer meeting devotion. The loving care of God to his people proclaimed, verse 1 to 3. His people gratefully thank him for his presence and his intervention in their lives. Verse 1. For he receives and presides his people in righteousness. He presides over his people in righteousness. Verse 2. Although the tempest of life will come, but he is their stronghold through them all. That's the first thought. The second, the resistance of God against the proud. Verses 4 to 5. The boastful admonished, the evil man's strength resisted, the self-exalting put in their place, verse 4 and 5. And the third thought, God sovereignly chooses whom he will bless, verse 6 and verse 7. He raises up whom he chooses, verse 6, for he is the sovereign judge, verse 7a. He putteth down one, 7b. He putteth up another, 7c. And the last thought, the fourth thought, his blessing is upon the righteous, verses 8 to 10. His judgment comes upon the wicked, verse 8. His blessings are upon his thankful people, verse 9. For God favors the righteous, verse 10. God's people come before him, the sovereign judge, with nothing to boast. Nothing they could bring to offer but their contrite heart. How can we draw near to God except we realize our sinfulness, how we are unclean, how we need him? There is no other way by which we can draw near to God. Nothing that we could bring to offer but our contrite heart. We could bring nothing to win God's favor. But he does sovereignly chooses us and nurtures us. We take heart to consecrate our hearts fully to him in grateful obedience and love. This is the heart of a man of God who has experienced, in a sense, life for what it is. The people of God seeking to walk with God, knowing their unworthiness to walk before God, find solace and strength. For God condescends to uphold his people in all their afflictions. Do you feel God is near you? Do you have a sense of the presence of God in your life? Well, this the psalmist is speaking of an experience in his own life. Indeed, God, as we draw near to him, leads us in the paths of righteousness, not for our sake, but for his own honor and glory. He leads us. And we want to think concerning the loving care of God to his people, how it is proclaimed. And God resists the proud. He sovereignly chooses whom he will bless, and his blessing is upon the righteous. 1 to 3, 4 to 5, 6 to 7, and 8 to 10. The loving care of God to his people proclaimed. The people of God who have tasted the grace and goodness of God can testify with an overflowing heart of gratitude to praise God. And thanksgiving is a blessed trait of a heart subdued by God's grace and presence. When we have understood how unworthy we are, and we have sought to come near to God, pleading for mercy, well, we find the presence of God in our lives, seeking to sanctify us, seeking to help us. And there is a sense of gratitude that you're not alone in your struggle. You're not alone in your walk. To feel lonely can be a very debilitating mindset. But for the people of God, we mustn't say that we feel lonely, because God is with us. We feel lonely when we are not drawing close to him, when we are distanced from him. We will feel lonely when we are not walking in his ways. We are not walking according to his will, according to his purpose. And the Lord wants us to come back to him. Unto thee, O God, the psalmist says, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks, for that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. You see, the people of God who walk with God in a very simple, unassuming way, experiences the glory of God in their lives daily, moment by moment. As you call upon God, God answers your prayer. As you think in your heart, perplexed over the issues of life, God is able to exchange it with a peace for the perplexity that seemed to overwhelm and seek to control your mind. But the people of God who has experienced the presence of God and answers to prayer can give thanks, because you know it was so close. It was so close. We were at the precipice, at the edge of the cliff, and yet the Lord was there. We did not fall over. It was that close. It was that close. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks. For thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. When we have seen the presence and the glory of God wonderfully manifested for our blessing, well, we can only praise him and thank him. Never praise him and thank him enough. It reminds us of the chorus, "What a wonderful Savior." You recall, "What a wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ my Lord. What a wonderful Savior, from sin he sets me free. I will praise him forever, faithful to death I'll be. What a wonderful Savior Jesus is to me." If you have experienced, you know, as it were, a death threat and being delivered from it, wow, you realize that we have a wonderful Savior, has that power and the strength to protect us. And we have been protected, and we have been cared for, and we are willing, right, to consecrate ourselves to him. God looking into the well-being of his people. In fact, he is the one who upholds all things by the word of his power. Do you realize, right, the presence of God upholding all things? Right, how this camera is able to work, how our friends who are listening in from the outside is able to join us, even when they are overseas, there is a channel available. Indeed, we meditate upon the hymn that we have sung, "Nearer, Still Nearer." God coming to us and we drawing near to him. And we find shelter from him. It's a haven of rest for the soul. You see, what God offers us is inside us, you know. A peace that he gives us inside. And God wants us to have it and experience it abundantly. The sinner who mourns for his sins and finds relief in Christ receives much comfort for the nearness, from the nearness of God as he abides in his presence. The righteous will never cease to give thanks. The righteous will never cease to give thanks. What do you mean by the word righteous? One who is right with God. How can we be right with God when our sins have been forgiven us? The righteous will never cease to give thanks. Their mercies shall never cease to flow, and their hearts shall never be unmoved by the divine kindness. The words of men of old experience God in their lives. There is that sense of gratitude, the sense of thanksgiving in the heart, because we have experienced the mercies of God. Was so close, so close. The resistance of God against God is resistance, or against the proud. The boastful admonished, the evil man's strength resisted, the self-exalting put in their place. Verse 4a, 4b, and verse 5. I said unto the fools, verse 4, deal not foolishly, and to the wicked, lift not up the horn. Lift not up your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck. The word fools is a word that describes boasters. The lifting up of the horn is a description of pride. And the stiff neck speaks of a hardness of heart, an arrogancy openly manifested. God resists the proud. He is against their boastfulness. And horns in the Bible are a symbol of strength, and therefore a basis for boasting. And the metaphor is here. Sorry. Yeah. So
then you have okay.
And so the Lord knows what we need. The lifting up of the horn is a description of pride. The stiff neck refers to a hardness of heart, in open arrogancy. We were studying the book of Proverbs. Six things that the Lord hate, you recall? Seven things an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. God resists the proud. And the Lord knows what is going on in our lives, what is going on in the lives of his people. And the Lord seeks to strengthen his people with a kind of stillness that enables them to live amongst proud people. Is it easy to live in the jungle of this world where might is right, where righteousness is spurned? No, not easy. You try doing the right thing. Wow. Not easy. God sovereignly chooses whom he will bless, verse 6 and 7. He raises up whom he chooses, verse 6. And he is sovereign, he is the sovereign judge, putting down one, putting up another. Verse 6 and verse 7. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. God is the one who sovereignly blesses whom he will. Unless the Lord would bless us, what can we do? We can only wait upon him. The king Nebuchadnezzar realizes this truth to the blessing of his heart when he kowtow, we said, to the God of heaven. He realizes that the reign of God was over him and his domain. He realizes that he has no control but to submit to his rule. He loses the control of his physical faculty when God struck him to live like an animal for 7 long years. This is a description, a personal testimony of someone who has experienced God in their lives. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. 7 times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. You see, this is God's word. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason return unto me, and the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness return unto me, and my counselors and my lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. What a testimony. What a testimony. Someone willing to share his blessings upon the righteous, verse 8 to 10, the fourth thought. His judgment comes upon the wicked, verse 8. His blessings are upon his thankful people, verse 9. For God favors the righteous, verse 10. For in the hand, verse 8 says, of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red, and it is a full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same, but the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. God's judgment will come upon the wicked. This is a metaphor, the metaphor of the cup of red wine and its mixture. Describe God's judgment. When wine ferments, it produces a froth from the released gases. So the metaphor suggests something of a fermented product. And the picture here is expanded with a description of a mixture. The wine perhaps mixing with water to increase the pungency of the drink. Here is described of a judgment that God meets out. For the hand of the Lord is there. There is a cup, and the wine is red, and he pours it out. But I will declare forever, verse 9, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked also will I cut off, but the horns of the righteous will be exalted. The psalmist sings of God's justice meted out upon the wicked who spurn God's laws. But God's favor is upon the righteous. This morning we were discussing about the Sabbath day, how God appoints one day of rest for his people, and how that day of rest that God appoints for his people is such a blessed day that he wants his people to have that time of rest and refreshing. Why? Because they labor 6 days. They needed the rest. They were weary. They will be weary without it. And the Lord appointed it. And we were mentioning, why is it that God gave the capital punishment upon those who will not follow? Because it would affect the rest of the people. Right? And here, you see God meeting out. He's not harsh, but he's saying to his people, remember that sin is preceded by God raining manna in the morning, God giving them quails to flesh to eat in the evening, 6 days a week. And on the sixth day, God gave double portion. Double portion, meaning that you have enough for yourself. And God appointed for you to rest. See, his care for us is so total, it's so good. Why will we not choose that rest, that refreshing that he has given to you? Right? Coming for prayer meeting, when we would come before him, we may be tired physically after a long day at work, but spiritually we are refreshed. When we come for worship, when we prepare our hearts to come before him in holy worship, there is a sense of God's presence with us. There is a blessing that God gives to us. He wants us to understand it, you see. And he wants us to enjoy it. Let it be a delight in your life. God appointed all these things for our benefits, for our blessings. And who are the righteous? Those who would follow the will of God, the way of God, to seek him. But the favor of the Lord is upon the righteous. Who is this righteous man? He is the repentant, he whose sins are washed by the blood of the Lamb. The clear conscience is a blessed state of well-being. Thank God for his grace. Praise God for protecting his people. May God be very merciful and gracious to strengthen his people, to cause his people to daily praise his holy name. Amen. Thank you.